Greetings, this is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show. We've got a few announcements to make before we start off, and these are some of the upcoming events that he said. We've got this week, and we've got June 9th, and I'll be co-presenting with my friend Michael Tellinger, and he'll be talking about Ubuntu, and I'll be covering the liberation of planet Earth and a lot of the different shifts going on right now. And we'll also have amazing sound healing with Neil and Sol. And they have some pretty incredible bulls, and it's quite an event, you know, to come and check that one out. Our big event is coming up and open for registration at the ESETI 2017 conference this year, and that starts June 30th, and early bird registration for this event ends June 7th. So we've had so much amazing activity happen at the ranch with the contact intention setting we're doing during the conference. It's going to be amazing. We've got a fantastic lineup of speakers, including my guest tonight, Jason Quitt, and you can check them out at esetievents.com. So again, go to esetievents.com, and you can see the lineup, and it's building. It's kind of interesting that our schedule is getting a little flexible because there are, you know, a lot of people really going through changes, and some of the speakers are having serious health concerns and things like that. We need a shout out or prayer to Jim Mars, who couldn't make it to contact in the desert because of getting hit pretty hard. So anyway, I'm sure any prayers sent his way would be great. There's so much going on. I'm getting flooded with emails right now and phone calls and you know, people basically feeling like they're under attack, and it's not too far from the truth, because we are moving towards enlightenment. We're moving towards ascension. And the yogis say the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. So, you know, you're not doing something wrong if you're having a lot of problems out there. It means you're doing something right, you know, because there are certain beings that don't want this to happen. And they're coming out of the woodwork right now because their days are numbered and the earth is going ahead, with or without them, so probably without them. But anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring our guest on tonight. We've got Jason Quitt, and he's one of the presenters at our upcoming conference again, June 30th and through the July 4th weekend. And I met Jason at Contact in the Desert and felt a very strong connection. He's like the second wave, you know, and bringing all this information out makes my life a lot easier, knowing that there are people picking up the gauntlet and moving forward with this. But one way to describe Jason would be as a lifelong experiencer. He's had interactions with multidimensional worlds, and it started at a very early age. He's continued throughout his lifetime, and we'll talk in a moment about his experience of sleep paralysis and how that led to controlled out-of-body experiences in multiple dimensions and with many different guides and masters who told him the most important thing is to heal yourself, and only then can you affect change in others. And he studied various modalities of spiritual practices with teachers from around the world. He graduated from the Institute of Energy Wellness in 2005 and began practicing Algonquin shamanism. He's the author of three books, Egyptian Postures of Power, Ancient Qigong System, and the Yosef Codes, and Sacred Geometry Mandalas of Meditation. And he started to work on publishing his story and the information with the late Bob Mitchell. That book, Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Traveler, was released in March 2016, and also instantly went international, being translated into French, Spanish, German, Chinese, and Japanese. Jason was also one of the guests personalities featured in the 2015 UFO documentary, The Resonance. He also worked as a creative director for Tesla magazine from 2014 to 15. Sounds like you've been a very busy guy there, Jason.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
But you got to keep yourself busy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad to get you on the show here. Unfortunately, I really want to get into more of your work. I've just been swamped right now, but it seems like you're on the same path that I've been on, and moving it forward, it seems to be, and into even more detail.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of synchronicities, and your name, for some reason, well, it's not some reason, I know why, but your name in particular just keeps coming to me relentlessly for the past couple of years. It's like almost everywhere I go and every time I speak to people, they say, do you know James?
I was told that I had a pretty heavy presence out there. You know, I'm just sitting up here on in the middle of nowhere on this little ranch, and you know, sometimes I'm in my own little world and I don't realize how much of a presence there is when you go to Google and things like that.
Well, it's like, truthfully, like, I'm very new to this, I'll call it an industry, of the UFO consciousness industry. And, it's only been a year, basically. So I was actually in Japan, and I was telling you this story at Contact. I was actually visiting the Dr. Emoto people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in their office in Japan, and I was talking to some of the employees there. And because I'm, you know, Canadian or North American, the first question they asked me was, do I know James? They asked me. And they actually, I don't know what it was. There was like a flyer with your picture on it in their office. And they picked it up and handed it to me. He says, you don't know James?
Yeah.
So that was my first time. I'm like, oh, okay, I need to know who this guy is.
Yeah, I did a lot of work over there. I went over there. I went to Japan and did a lot of workshops and classes there. And there, everyone was packed. The people were just great. And, you know, they were just popping wide open there. It was amazing. And then the last day I was there, I did a Sunday workshop, and a big UFO flew right over Tokyo, and it hit the mainstream news. It was great, but love the people over there. And then I went to Australia, the same thing happened. You know, everywhere I went, it was packed, and the people there were just great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go back there at least twice a year now, and, you know, it's like becoming a second home. Everybody's so great over there.
Yeah. You know, I'm probably going to go over there and they're going to ask me, do you know Jason?
No. You will. I guarantee, guarantee it.
Yeah.
No, but, that's really good. So, yeah, you were one of the main people that I wanted to, you know, somehow synchronistically bump into at Contact. And they actually put us right next to each other.
I know. Small world. But, you know, what's really funny, in looking at your work and what you're doing, it's so similar to the work that I'm doing. And also there's another guy there. I'm brain farting. I think it's Jordan, the other.
Yeah. I actually started to talk to him recently, too.
Yeah. What's his last name? I can't remember.
Either something like that. I could look it up in a minute.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just, you know, between you two, and he was covering a lot of the shifts, you know, all the political stuff and everything else, and putting a more of a spiritual twist to it. And, you know, I saw that, and then I saw your work, and I'm going, thank God, you know, this is continuing, you know, this is getting out there. And, it was a big relief to see that there are people that are awake, you know, that are seen behind, you know, the curtain, you might say, and are there to, you know, bring truth and wisdom, you know, minus the nonsense. I have other words for that, but I'll just call it nonsense that seems to be out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the trick of this is you have to get out there with the people. You can't do this sitting behind a computer screen or even going on the radio. You have to be out there meeting the people, having the conversations, because that's, I think, where the real contact has to start happening now.
Yeah, I agree. I was just blown away by just what's going on out there right now. It just seems like I don't want to do too much on the political stuff, but just watching the news and the fake news and the CNN and the DNC and just listening to these guys are just blowing my mind. I go, are these people serious? And why do they even get the podium? I mean, why are they even up there on stage? And also, why are they in some kind of a position of authority? I don't understand it. And a lot of them can't even put a sentence together, you know, a coherent sentence together. You know, and you're going, these people are, wait a second, these people are making the decisions about our everyday lives. And it's getting to the point where I would say it's almost unbelievable. Now it's almost humorous. It's gotten so insane. All you can do is laugh at it. I mean, because that's basically, you can't get wrapped up in, you can't get mad, you can't get caught up in all the drama and everything else. But I just can't believe people are saying what they're saying, and you know, they should record themselves and listen to what they're saying, and see if they might want to, you know, rethink those things. But anyway, it's getting bizarre out there. But the also too, what I've seen is the UFO activity and the contact and all of that is just going through the roof too, exponentially. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've had my own experiences with all different types of UFOs growing up. And, you know, all I have to do is, you know, sit out in the backyard at night and I'll see a couple of them. It's, you know, it's not a hard thing to do if you just take the time and look. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. pointing lasers up in the sky. You just have to look.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had, I don't know, we probably had at least 5 or 6 really good ones last night, and it was totally overcast. But the night before, we had a huge one come in and power up and make a nice turn. It lit the whole sky up and did the little wave, you know, on the way back out. But just, wouldn't you know it, my camera failed too. I couldn't. The chip failed. I have no idea why. It was working perfectly, and all of a sudden the chip failed in my camera, so I didn't get that one, unfortunately. But I do have enough, you know, treetop level stuff like that you just can't deny anymore.
Yeah, and you know, if I think the physical UFOs or the interdimensional UFOs that people are seeing and experiencing, I think they're, you know, basically out there flaunting themselves so that, you know, people will start to look up and say, okay, I've had that experience too. I've had this physical experience with my eyes where I've seen something in the sky that shouldn't be there. But then again, you know, 10 years ago when I was pointing up in the sky and I say, do you see the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail? People are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? So you have to do like baby steps here with people.
Yeah.
Look up into the sky and not at their cell phone.
I tell you, you can't miss the chemtrails now, because we actually photographed it, because it was so, I mean, we had seven planes here in a row making 7 streams. It was just unbelievable, and doing the tic-tac-toe thing and then layers upon layers, you know, it was just, they're really hammering hard. I was hoping, because we had a break and we had, it was probably, you know, after I got back from contact, I go, boy, this is great. We got blue sky, you know, the ships are coming in. This is, felt really good energy. And all of a sudden it just shifted again and they're back. But, you know, I think that's temporary. I think it's going to be up and down until they're finally gone, you know, and they stop the nonsense. But, you know, like everything else, it's going to phase out, just because it's not frequency specific to the Earth and where she's going.
No, because of all the metals in the air, you know, we need that gold in our atmosphere, that consciousness there. To for us to breathe in, to be these higher consciousness dimensional beings, and to bring the Earth's consciousness up, it's, you know, it's the gold in the atmosphere. So, you know, you're adding all these other metals and chemicals into the air. It's basically polluting the mind of the Earth.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty insane. It's sad, because we have a couple people here that are really sick because of the chemtrails, and I'm getting emails from everybody. It's almost global. They're saying, what is going on? You know, but hopefully these higher dimensional beings will finally pull the plug on it. You know, it's not their job, but I think they're going to help out anyway.
Well, you know, that's basically the message that I've been receiving for a very long time. And that, and I think this is your message as well, that there is some type of multidimensional contact going on, And it's starting at the level of our dreams, which is the easiest and most profound way of contacting the human race, is first you start them out comfortably by sending them messages or visions through their dreams. And once they get comfortable with those messages through their dreams, maybe they start to have outer body experiences and experience more, or start to see beyond the third dimensional realities. And that's how I was brought into this. It started off as, I would say, dreams, and then it really progressed into pretty crazy outer body and dimensional experiences that have continued to happen my whole life. But this is happening. What I'm going through is happening to millions of people on this planet at this time. So it's almost like, you know, you were talking in your last show about this whole disclosure thing, and, you know, what do we feel disclosure is? Disclosure that is going to be presented by a governmental body is not disclosure. It's controlled information to profit a very few amount of people. That's what we're looking forward to in the future, and that's what we're all leading up to. But it's not about disclosure, it's about the intimate connection you have with Source, and from that you awaken to your multidimensional self, which you're connected to all those celestial families and star beings already. And that is the big shift that's going to come in, and it's going to happen with these children that are waking up and realizing that they're multidimensional and they have these connections already set up.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that one. It's almost like the disclosure movements, and you know, and there are some people that are very high integrity that are involved in this project, but there are also some people with extremely low integrity that are working, you know, from the planned opposition position, where what they find out is that if we don't have a savior, we revolt. You know, there'd be a revolution. So they have to give us a savior. So they install the savior, and they call it planned opposition. And he's going to be the UFO messiah, and he's going to have all the backing, you know, of the government. And he's going to rub elbows with, you know, the Clintons and the Bushes and all the others, and brag about it. And there you have it, you know.
I can't believe you're saying that, because that's exactly what they warned me about like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they were talking about. They were saying that the most I posted this the other day on social media. I said, you know, the most dangerous thing in the consciousness movement is the savior complex.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. And it's actually avoids personal responsibility, and people get lazy, and they think it's being done, and it's not being done. It's just controlled. You know, the whole thing is controlled. But it's just unbelievable. But I've seen that over and over again. And I know I'm a major threat to those guys, because I know who they are, and they know who I am. And they're not authentic. You know, they're you know, some have a 1,000-pound ego, you know, and they're running. You know, it's all about them. It's not about empowering the individual to making their own personal contact. And that's really what it's about, is making your own personal God, creator, spirit connection. And with that comes contact. And then you find out, you know, these are your families up there, and you've probably been with them in the past or had past lives there or things like that. It's a whole different approach.
Yeah. And that's the process. That's the journey. And for me, I came at it from the shamanic point of view. So I went into it through a healing process, and it was through my healing process that all those things unfolded to me. And it's the same thing with healing. If you go to some healer and they take away your illness, you know, they're taking away your responsibility, you know, but they can show you the way, they could open the door, and they can allow you that space for you to heal. And then you could process your own energy in that space, but you're taking responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with what we're seeing in this disclosure or savior or UFO movement, where, you know, we just hear stories that don't worry, relax, feel great because, you know, we're winning the war. Well, who's winning the war? Well, we are, you know?
Yeah, who's we?
Yeah, so they're like, oh, thank God, you know, we don't have to do anything. We can watch Netflix and, you know, be enlightened tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that is the complete opposite of what I've been taught my whole life, which is the only way through this is by healing yourself, letting go of all those old patterns and distortions that we carry. And by letting go of all these old energetic fields and pulling in this higher consciousness energy through us, what we're doing is we're reattaching these webs of consciousness that really do connect us to our families. And then we have communication. Then we can travel through these different dimensions and portals. And I think that is the biggest threat to the establishment on planet Earth, because if you're not connected, you're basically trapped. Mm-hmm. And then you're easily to be controlled and manipulated. But if you are open, connected, you are basically free. You know that there is more to this reality than what is being presented. And you can take that and empower yourself and take responsibility for your own energies. And I think that's the greatest threat that this planet is facing, is people waking up to that conclusion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is, they've always said, you know, an awakened God, you know, because they call us the forgotten gods down here. And we do have the DNA of the gods, you know, we just forgot how to use it or how to activate it. But, you know, that they say, you know, once you're awakened, you can't be controlled. You can't be, you know, they can't control you through the religions or through money or through anything, because you're aligned with your soul and your soul purpose and creator. And that's the last thing they want to see on this planet, you know, but they do want the other guys to go out there and say, hey, don't worry, we got this, you know, it's all under control, you know, go back to your cubicle, you know, and your job and your whatever 50-inch screen TV and your football games. And, you know, it's like amazing, you know, I laugh so hard when the Bush was in office and he said, you know, we need to go out and shop, you know, just keep shopping, you know, that's going to bring America back, you know. It's just like,
oh, well, don't you notice that now? Anytime there's like a holiday, you can't even find a parking spot in a mall, because what else is there to do but just walk around and shop?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's sad that a lot of the UFO movement, or I guess the spiritual movement too, you know, they had The Secret, and I was listening to The Secret, the whole thing, and I said, you know, this is an infomercial for materialism, and that you'll be happy if you have the big car and the wife to die for and all the other things, you know, that they're bragging that they have. And I said, well, why do you need all that stuff to be happy? Why can't you just be happy? You know, it's your natural state. And you know, it's just interesting when you watch how these shifts, and they just take off like wildfire in the mainstream. But it's just, you know, they miss the mark every time, and they're not written by enlightened people. They're written by people that have accepted a program, you know, that have read other people's books, or they're accepting a program. And it's so programmed now that if you bring out the real truth, people just kind of go blank, you know. they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, well, everybody wants the easy answer.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the perfect house and you'll get the perfect house. But, you know, the way that, you know, we were taught in shamanism is that you have to let go of all these things that you carry, and then the path will just open up to you. So you don't have to really need or want anything. All you have to do is have that faith in the universe that when you take that next step forward, there's something there to catch your foot.
Yeah.
And then everything that you ever possibly need is provided exactly in that moment. And that's living very in the present. And, you know, I tell a very, very simple story. I was in Japan and I was doing this class, and someone left an umbrella in the front of the class. So someone came up and said, you know, take this umbrella because maybe they'll show up next week and you can give it back to them. So then I took this umbrella back, and the next day I had to walk a good mile to get to where I need to go. And it was just pouring rain, and I was wearing like a nice suit and everything, and I would just be soaked. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do? I have to walk, and I don't have anything. And I walked to the front of the door, and I saw the umbrella just sitting there. You know, it's like, I know it's a really simple story, but that's basically whatever you need in your life, it'll just be there at the right moment. And that's how we have to kind of see. But you mentioned something so perfectly at the beginning of the show that, you know, you have to face your demons. You know, for every step you take in your journey, you have a bigger opposition behind you. And this is what really gets a lot of people, is that, you know, when they take that step forward in awakening or to learning who they are, it brings up their shadows. It brings up the things that they don't want to see or deal with. And they get too scared about it, or they get too fearful, and they just go back to being numb. So, you know, healing has that suffering part to it, where you have to go through those trials to get through it, and then you're in a different place in your life.
You know, and there's tools too, you know, to do that. And that's what I see, is that one of the things I know is that I've seen over and over again is that once we clear our wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, they don't have the hooks anymore. You know, the hooks are gone, and people seen and unseen can't really hook you anymore. And so it's a major freedom, major release from that once you clear this out. But it doesn't mean you're off the hook, you know, because the more you delve into this, the more you go down the rabbit hole, you start seeing everything clearly for what it is, and it doesn't like to be seen. You know, the dark doesn't want to be seen. It doesn't want to be exposed, and it gets very threatened by that. And so I was telling we had these two brothers here, amazing guys, and they're twins, and they're doing all this light work, but they're just getting hammered. And they said, you know, we're doing something wrong. What are we doing wrong? And I said, well, actually, you're doing something right, because you're a threat. You know, you're threatening their reality, you know, this paradigm here. So it's not that you're doing something wrong, you know, it's you're probably doing something right.
And this is what I want people to know, is that, yes, I'm talking on the radio to you and I'm going to all these shows and talking about this stuff, but the only reason I'm doing this is because I went through like 10 years of hell.
Yeah.
You know, and I came out of it. I came out of that hell. So I was basically fighting for my life and dealing with what you were talking about, you know, facing these entities, facing these lower energies. It was a constant battle. I was afraid to go to sleep at night because there'd be something trying to suffocate me in the middle of the night, you know, or push me out of my body, or come in my body. Like, it was just constant. And I had to kind of build my spiritual muscles so that, you know, everything turned. So it took years to do this, but instead of me being fearful of them, it switched. Now they are fearful of me.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really need to learn how to build that spiritual muscle and confidence and know how to hold your own in these spiritual realms or dimensional realms, because, you know, I warn people. People always ask me all the time, like, they really want to leave their body and have an astral body experience, or, you know. And I tell them that it's extremely dangerous, because if you leave your body and you're carrying some pretty terrible things that have not been dealt with, it's going to attract beings that carry that same resonance. They'll latch onto you, and you're going to bring it right back in your body and have a terrible time. You know, and that's just the laws of the universe right now. And so we need to learn how, like you said, let go of those wounds so those hooks can't come to you. Because your experience does change in those realms.
I've seen a lot of people that want the quick fix. You know, they want to do a ceremony and they want to do some kind of plant medicine or whatever. And I see that a lot. And sometimes it's not done, you know, in the proper space. You know, they don't have an enlightened shaman or a trained shaman that knows how to create sacred space and hold that space. And they go and they blast off with all that stuff attached to them, you know. And some people have a major healing or awakening that does happen. But I've seen other people just actually get possessed or just go through hell. And, I just keep seeing that over and over again, that there was a woman there, a very beautiful woman to contact in the desert. And we're having kind of a discussion that almost turned into an argument about that. And she was talking about how she does, you know, mushrooms regularly, and she does ayahuasca, and she does this and does that and everything else. And I said, you know, how long have you been doing this? You know, and she was telling me, and I said, well, you know, most people do an ayahuasca ceremony in the jungle once a year with a trained shaman. That's the best way to do it. Not like a recreational program. And if you haven't learned how to do that naturally, then and you're dependent on a plant or a mushroom or something else, then you might want to start, you know, reevaluating your path and see how you can go about all this naturally. But I saw over and over again that there was a lot of New Age teachings that she'd taken on, that everything is good, it's all love, it's all, and this and that. And I just said, you know, and then all of a sudden I saw her just do a turnaround, a total turnaround, like something else jumped in. And I told her, I said, you know, it's not all love, you know, and not everything is good, you know. And I said, there are things going on that you need to be aware of and you need to pay attention to. And, you know, things jump in and they come in. You got to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and maintain your self-authority. And this whole New Age program of there is no evil. And if you see evil, it's you. You know, it's part of you. And so you're going to ignore it. You know, you can't look at it. And it's just like, my God, that came out of Stanford research, and that's how evil flourishes. You know, they created those teachings so they could do whatever they want, and you can't recognize it or talk about it because it's taboo, you know, in a lot of the New Age community, or it makes you look dirty, you know, or whatever. And I go, you know, you guys, there is a dark side, you know, and it is very functional. It does exist in and of itself, and if you died tomorrow, that dark side is still going to be functioning here. So you have to recognize it and learn to deal with it. But, you know, it's kind of sad because I see them get sucked in to these other speakers, these other people who are actually working with that side. And they don't use discernment, and they've lost their critical thinking, and they just get sucked in. And the next thing you know, they've got all these attachments, and they're just a hot mess, you know, to deal with.
And you said it perfectly. Okay, it's the environment. It's very important. Is the right environment, the shaman, the intentions of the shaman, and the holding the space is extremely important. And again, it's your intention. Like, what do you really want out of this? And then there's an X factor here, which no one really talks about. The plant is conscious. And the plant could actually, I say, well, a lot of people, the plant smacks you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Because the plant knows, you know, you're doing this for the wrong reasons, and it's going to give you a bad trip. You know, there are tons of stories coming out of Peru where, you know, people, there's like a drug tourism now. You know, people like to go down, they'll do ayahuasca, mm-hmm. and sometimes they murder each other on ayahuasca.
Yeah.
You know, it's very dangerous.
But it's okay because apparently one needed the experience, and they'll come up with all these New Age things to say, right. It's okay, you know, but it's all okay, you know, and let's go do it again, you know. And I said, well, there might be some wisdom to be gained in that experience, you know. It's interesting. But, you know, I've just seen that over and over again. And it's happening. There were some people here. It was just a business for them, they're running these ceremonies every weekend, you know, and it was a business and they're making a lot of money at it, you know, and they had their little white outfits and everything. And they kind of tried to pass it off as you know, a major spiritual thing or whatever. But the problem is that a lot of the people involved started getting violent and started getting crazy, and they weren't holding sacred space or clearing the energy. And I saw these two guys came up after one of those ceremonies, and they had full-blown reptilian attachments. I mean, they were so hooked into them, and they were they even started to act and look like them. And, you know, and these guys are going, "Can you help us? Can you help us with these guys?" You know, and I said, "Well, you know, it's like I kind of warned you about this, and you guys are going to continue, and you're not going to stop. So you made this mess. I think, you know, there's something that you need to figure out and to work with." And I end up helping them anyway. But it's just like, you know, it always kind of, sometimes it frustrates me, because you warn people, you tell people what's going on, and they do it anyway. And then they come to you and they take up all your time and energy to get cleared. And then they turn around and go back to it and do it again. And you go, "Oh my God," you know, it's like, okay, you're on your own. You know, it's like, I'm a busy man, you know, it's like, I'll help you once, but if you're going to continue on that journey.
Well, you know, I'll just put it out there, because I did go down to Peru, and I did do an ayahuasca ceremony myself many years ago. And, you know, I did it with a real shaman. It was set up by friends that I knew. It was in a very good location. Amazing ceremony. But out of all the people that I went with, I think I was the only person that followed the rules. I actually fasted for about 3 days before I did it. And I just drank water and chewed coca leaves to prepare myself for it. So I was like really getting into that mindset. And when I took it, it wasn't anything like people described to me. It was completely different. For me, it was very physical. I can feel the medicine. Like, I could feel that spirit going into every organ of my body and detoxing it. And, you know, thank God there was a good washroom there, because I think I spent, you know, 2 or 3 days afterwards in that washroom.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So
yeah,
someone will say to me, you know, "Wow, like, you know, did you get a message from the ancestors or see something or anything?" And I'm like, "No, you know, what I saw was what I see without ayahuasca."
Yeah.
But it totally kicked my ass and detoxed my body like more than anything that I've ever experienced in my life. And I was the only person in the group that had that effect.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what you needed. You know, you can actually do the same thing with Epsom salt and apple juice. You'll have a very similar experience.
Yeah.
But it works. Actually, it's great for detox. There is a system, you know, and you have grapefruit juice and olive oil or whatever. But there is a system, and that does work really well as far as detoxing and whatever we can do right now to clear the liver up and get all the heavy metals out of us is great.
You know, I've done that 5 times already, what you're describing.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest thing. It's the first time I did it. Basically, what you're talking about is the malic acid, which is you take a large amount of malic acid, which is in apple juice or apple cider, mm-hmm. and that softens the stones in your body from the gallbladder, liver, and whatnot. And then you're basically in a fasting mode or just purely vegetarian for about a week. And then you're doing the Epsom salt and, you know, cleansing out the bowels. And then at the end of the week, you drink, it's crazy, you drink grapefruit juice and olive oil. And the next morning, hundreds of stones come out of your body.
Yeah.
It's the freakiest thing. Like, that was inside me. I could not believe that was inside of me.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that quite a few times. I'm probably getting ready to do it again here real soon. But I felt so, you know, that between that and I was doing the foot baths and a few other things, you know, to help get the stuff out of my system. And boy, I felt 100% better. You know, it's amazing. You know,
it's how really needed. We're basically sponges of toxins.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, we are. It doesn't help. I mean, they're doing everything they can. They're spraying us with everything on the planet. You know, it's a long story. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I had somebody test me for, you know, what was in my system. And I had every kind of neurotoxin, you know, weaponized everything in my system and every kind of form of radiation. They go, where have you been? You know, like, did you go through chemotherapy or something? And I said, nope. We just got a little extra dose here of the chemtrails and a few other things, you know, trying to make us go away. But, you know, it's luckily that it was lightening up. It was a lot better, but they're really heavy at it, which means they're probably scared and on their way out, you know. But that's the way I look at it. They're going to give it one big last shot, but they're imploding. You know, they're going to be out pretty soon.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the messages I got, you know, many years ago was that they're putting these metals in the air, especially around power spots. And I'm pretty sure your ranch there is quite a good power spot. The reason is that by putting these metals in the air and using different radio waves or different types of, you know, pulse magnetic fields, they can actually create frequency resonant, how do you say this? Basically, they could turn the sky into a Faraday cage of the frequency that they want.
Exactly.
And if you have these interdimensional ships that are popping in and out of reality, they're using frequency. It's all frequency and vibration to pop in and out of reality. So if you're putting up, let's say, a Faraday cage and you're electrifying it with radio waves or scalar or whatever, you are placing some type of block or shield in that area for whatever reason they're doing. And I had a bunch of ET experiences where the only way I could describe it to you was consecutive nights I was visited by different ET races, and there was no translation box in my head. There was no telepathy. They were speaking to me in their language, which I had no idea what they're saying. But it felt like they were trying to come to me and warn me about something. And I think it has to do with this type of technology to cut them out of these realities.
Yeah, definitely. I know they try to track their ships with, you know, if they can create a field, you know, of energy, whatever moves in that field, they can track it. So they're using it to track the ships. They're using it for all different kinds of things. And they're trying to turn everybody into a nice antenna so they can broadcast their other frequencies. But it's such a crazy story. It gets deeper and deeper. But you know, I do think this is all going to come to an end here pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you've got now, I've got, we've got about 15 minutes left, and the, you've got so much stuff to cover. I'd like to hear a little bit about your, you know, what your, going to be presenting at the conference, and hopefully we can do some of that Egyptian the practices. And now, what do you call it? Is it like Egyptian Qigong, or do you have a different name for that?
Well, originally I just called them the Egyptian postures of power. I called it Egyptian postures of transformation as well at one point, but you know, no one really grasped it. And everybody knows Tai Chi, everybody knows Qigong, and it's exactly the same thing. You know, you're standing in a posture and you're doing movements. It's exactly the same as Qigong form or Tai Chi. So I just use the word, you know, Qigong healing system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it opened up the market so people could actually understand what I was trying to present. But those postures that I will be teaching at the conference coming up, that was actually given to me from past life rememberings, or I'd call it past life relivings. Mm-hmm. So at nighttime, I would be taken out of my body and taken back to Egypt, where I'd be placed in a temple in front of someone that looked very similar to, you know, what you see in the statues. And they would be standing in a posture. And all I would do was copy whatever they did, and it would feel like this thing would open up above my head and it would feel like a waterfall of energy, and it felt like solar light going through my cells, but it felt like underneath a waterfall, that vibration going through the body. And I would wake up with these, I would wake up from those experiences, you know, still vibrating in those energies, and it just blew me away. So I actually recorded all the things that I was taught over there. And after a while, you know, we put together this system and I started to practice it in the physical world. And it just, it blew me open. Like it made me sensitive to the energies going through my body, this sensitive to the energies in the outer environment. I can feel beings and entities that you can't see with your eyes. I can feel if they walk into the room or the space. And there was physical transformations, physical healing started to happen to me. And once I started to teach this to other people, they had the exact same things happen to them. So it really gave me a lot of confidence to go out into the world with this system from Egypt. But, you know, we were discussing at Contact, and, you know, I thought it was so amazing that we were on the same page with this, because I was told that these postures were not from Egypt. They actually came from Atlantis, but it was given to the Atlanteans by the Pleiadians. Mm-hmm. And that was the history that was given to me. And just talking to you for 30 seconds, you already knew that information.
I totally, when you were telling me your story and everything, I was getting the total download, and I was going, well, you don't even have to tell me your story anymore, because I know who you are. You know, it was kind of interesting. But we do Yigong here, which is a really ancient posture, and I was told a story once, and I think it was over in the Himalayas, where this ship came down, landed on the top of this hill. And these guys come out in robes, and they're definitely aliens, you know, or they were not human. They had bigger heads.
It sounds like you cut out there, James. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, I could hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, they land on this mountain. They come out in robes, and they have larger heads, very tall beings. And they start doing these movements and these postures. And the people that saw them said, well, the closest thing they could say was like Qigong or something. And they were doing these postures on this mountaintop. And then they got back into the ship and left. You know, so, you know, it kind of ties all together. You go, wow, these guys have been doing this for a long time. And then you see the gods of the past, you know, the Hindu gods and things like that, holding these postures and holding their hands in these certain mudras. And it all ties together when you start, you know, doing the research. You go, boy, this is really old. This is very ancient. And it's something that it's almost like a lost art that's been forgotten. In some countries, they've kind of kept it together. You know, some of the lamas and yogis have maintained some of this. But it is time for us to get back into our practices, our spiritual practices, and especially the ones that empower us and awaken and heal us from within.
It's a lost language of energy. And we all know that, you know, energy moves through our body in a very specific way. And when we change our posture and hold that posture, we change the way the energy flows through the body, and it creates a specific field of resonance around the body with each mudra or posture. So if you know the correct sequence, you're basically writing music. You're writing a language, and you're putting that language and projecting it out into your consciousness fields around your body, and you will attract and awaken things. It's, you know, it's extremely ancient science.
Yeah.
It's extremely ancient
science. Now, I wanted to cover something on there because, you know, our buddy up there, Dr. Greer, was saying in his lecture, he was saying that we have to stop being spiritual snobs, and we have to open ourselves to everyone and everything and let it into our bodies. And you know, I'm getting a copy of that. Just
wow.
And I was shocked. I just said, oh my God, that is so incredibly irresponsible. And because I have mentioned that there, you know, there are these other entities, and now I'm being accused of preaching fear porn, and I'm a cabal member and all this other stuff because I kind of called that out. I said, well, wait a second. Let's hold on here. You know, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And I guess he takes the posture that there are no negative ETs and there's no negative entities. You just open wide and let anything come in, you know? And the problem is I'm having people coming up to me that are a mess, for connecting into those energies and not using discernment and not maintaining their self-authority. And it was overwhelming at Contact in the Desert. I had one person after another I'd come up to my desk and men coming up and saying, you know, my life just went to hell and I was having night terrors and everything, you know, after connecting with those energies. And so, you know, to me, it's like I have kind of a quandary. Okay, how much do I realize, okay, that's their initiation, you know, that's their experience and they needed to experience that and hopefully they'll come out okay. And then how much do you protect people, you know, and how much do you warn people? And so I've been kind of jockeying around on that one, but it's gotten to the point where it's gotten so dark and there's so many problems coming out of that. I think it's time to speak up about it.
Yeah, and just continue speaking your truth about it, just like I'm doing, because that will have the most positive effect. You know, you don't have to warn people and say this person's bad or that system is evil, because you know what? If they go down that road, something inside of them is going to either overcome it and come out much better, or they're going to get stuck in it.
Yeah,
and that's just, you know, their decisions. So we can just put the word out there, you know, what we've been through and what we've experienced. And, you know, you're reminding me of this story. I was in a class with the Algonquin shaman and, you know, someone was getting very upset with him because he was speaking like we're speaking, you know, yeah. And this person was getting very offended. And they said, well, if I just surround myself with white light, I'll be fine. And he just looked her right in the eyes and he says, if you surround yourself with white light, you're broadcasting all your frequencies, which means now I can manipulate you very easily.
Interesting.
And you know, when the shamans do their ceremonies, they wear black. And people think, oh my God, that's so evil. You know, they're wearing black. They're showing their true colors, right? In those traditions, when you wear black, you're hiding your energy so you don't get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
When you're wearing broadcast.
Yeah, I know a lot of speakers that just wear black and they ask them why. And that's exactly why, you know, that. You know, we're coming up the end of the hour, unfortunately. You know, I wish we could stay longer. We've got so much more to cover. I have to bring you on the show again. But what's the best way that people can get in touch with you and get your information and, you know, any upcoming workshops and books that you have?
Sure. My main website is thecrystalsun.com. That's thecrystalsun, SUN.com. You could also find me on Facebook. You just have to look up The Crystal Sun or Jason Quitt with two T's. And you can find all my books on Amazon as well.
Great. Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I can't wait to check out the Egyptian postures and sit in on the practices that you'll be doing up here, you know, during the 4th of July conference. And it's going to be fun. There's some awesome people coming at this gathering. And almost we kind of make a kind of a stance here is that we only promote people that are heart-centered, that are really here to help in the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth. And you know, the self-promotion thing is kind of not that important here. So as soon as I met you, I go, oh, he's one. I got to bring him up to the ranch. You know, so I can tell that you're coming from the heart and you're coming from a very high place. And thanks for doing the work. And I can't wait to see you up here.
I just want to be there. Are you kidding? That's like a huge bucket list experience for me just to be there in that environment, you know, speaking there and being with the people. That's a plus, but I would be there anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, Yeah, it's like home. You know, you come on the land, you go, oh my God, I'm home. You know, and then all the veils are thin and people start just opening up to all their other Star Nation experiences and inner earth experiences. And I mean, the veils are so thin here, even the nature spirits come out and play and have a go, you know. But you know, don't be surprised if you don't have a juvenile Bigfoot run up to you and skid and stop and say hi and turn off and run through the forest, because
it's already happened before. So
yeah that happens up here. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're out of time. I've got to sign off, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll do it again soon.
Had a great time, James.
All right. Well, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Stay in the heart, watch the skies, and trust that inner sensitivity. If it doesn't feel right, it just might not be right. And don't forget to do clearings. Keep your energy clear. And if you don't know how to clear unseen negative influences, check out our website or check out any of the books. It's all in the books that we wrote here. So anyway, have a great evening. Stay in the heart and watch the skies. Good night.